Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and you can go to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, whether you're physically turning there, if you're following along digitally. I know a lot of people do follow along with their phones, with scripture on their phone. That's all right. We'll have it on the screen for you when we get to those portions. But if you have your Bibles, you can go to Hebrews 11. We're going to continue our series today that is titled Ridiculous Faith. This is a series we started at the beginning of the year, and we've just been going with this right along in Hebrews 11. And what we're trying to do with this series is through the Word of God and through the examples that are given to us here in Hebrews chapter 11, is we're trying to stir and strengthen our faith, right? And we're trying to stir our hearts to revival and to an utmost confidence in God Almighty, the only one who's worthy, right? So it's to help us to become more and more like these people who are described throughout the entire book of Hebrews, people who Hebrews 10 says were radically free from the love of this world, the things that are in the world, and the things that the world considers successful. And they were free from that kind of bondage, you know, being conformed to the world. They were free from that bondage because, so to speak, they had their eyes on the prize. They had their eyes on the prize. Hebrews 10:34 says they knew, right? They knew, they had an assurance that they had a better possession and an enduring one. Anybody know what that is? Heaven. Heaven, right? Even heaven coming to earth in the end times. But there is a place where the saints of God go when our life is finished on this earth until he comes again and the new heaven, new earth comes, right? There is a place where we can go to be with him. It's a better possession. It's an enduring one. It's for eternity, right? And so it's heaven, okay? They believed with all of their hearts in the promises of God. Their confidence was not in themselves. Their confidence was not in any other person. Their confidence wasn't in anything that the world had to offer, but their confidence was solely in God, okay? And so this is what we know as we've been going through so far. We know that faith is a now faith. When is faith? Now, right? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. It's a now faith. And guess what? We need that now faith every day. Every waking moment, every morning we wake up, it's a decision. I choose to believe, right? So now faith is the substance. It has substance. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. We know also that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the scripture says, right? That not only that only with faith will our obedience be pleasing to God, right? So if we're just trying to be obedient out of obligation, that doesn't really do a whole lot. But if we are doing it out of confidence in him, his promises, if we're doing it out of a place of faith, then it's pleasing to God. So not only is faith without works dead, that's what James tells us, faith without works is dead, but works without faith is dead, right? We need to make sure we get that only with faith is our obedience pleasing to God. This is what else we know. We know that faith must first come to God believing that he is, that God is God, right? I said this earlier, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He had the first words at the beginning of creation when he said, let there be, and he will have the last word at the end of time. Amen. Right? Faith says, God, you are God, and besides you, there is no other. Who else is worthy, right? Then secondly, faith says this, not only are you God, but you are good. You're good. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And last but not least, we know that faith endures. Faith endures. Paul says in Hebrews 10:35-36, cast not away your confidence, which has great reward, but we have need of endurance. Endurance. Let me tell you this. Sometimes we got to wait. Sometimes we got to wait. And sometimes that is something we all hate, right? I'm just being honest. Sometimes I hate to wait. I hate to wait. Anybody else hate to wait? Is it just me? All right, I'm not in this thing alone. Rest of y'all, I need some of that fruit of patience. Y'all pray for me, right? But let me tell you this. Waiting time is not wasted time if you're on God's time. Waiting time is not wasted time if you're waiting on God's timing, okay? We know that being justified by faith, we live and we walk by faith. Paul tells us in Hebrews 10:39, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. We endure. So faith waits, faith has patience, and faith endures. Okay? And so we've went over three examples so far in Hebrews 11, and this is what we've seen in our first three examples. In Abel, we see that faith does things God's way. Faith does things God's way. It comes to God and says, God, I trust you for my salvation. I trust you for my righteousness. I know I can't achieve that on my own. I need you in my life. I acknowledge that I am sinful and I am in need of your grace. I'm in need of your mercy, and your God way is the only way, and I receive that by grace through faith, right? So faith brings us into relationship with God through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the finished work of the cross. That's why he came, to bring us into right standing, righteousness with God, okay? So we see that in Abel. We saw in Enoch that faith walks. It walks. That faith is not only just a verbal proclamation or profession, but faith is walked out day by day. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it's something you choose to walk out every day, right? We read that Enoch walked with God faithfully day by day for 300 years on this earth before he was translated. God took him, for he was not, right? And he did this in a time before the flood when the Bible says that the earth was exceedingly wicked. So we really don't have an excuse today. Well, we're walking in the world. Well, he walked in an exceedingly evil, wicked world, but he walked with God faithfully. It's something we choose to do, so faith walks. Everybody say that. Faith walks, okay? Then last week we looked at the threefold message in the story of Noah, the ark, and the flood. And we could look at that, and I'll just try to sum it up like this, because we had several points, but I'll say it like this. Faith works. Okay? Faith works. And when I say that faith works, it really has a twofold meaning, okay? First, it's this. That ark didn't build itself. Right? Right? It didn't build itself. Noah had to build that ark, and it took a lot of work to do that, right? They didn't have the tools and machinery we have at our disposal today. So it was a lot more work than what we would even do today. Verse 7 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet seen, prepared an ark. He believed God and feared God enough that when God said, hey, I'm going to flood the earth, but I'm going to preserve you and your family, you need to build this enormous boat, that he went to work. He trusted God at his word. And putting in that work actually worked out for him, right? Noah and his family and two of each animal after its kind were safe and sound inside the ark. And the rest of the world was judged, okay? This was our main point last week. Jesus Christ is our ark. Here in this New Testament, this new covenant we're living in today, he is our ark. In him, we are saved. In him, we are safe. In him, we are secure from judgment. We've been relinquished from judgment. We are safe, and in him, we can rest. How many like rest? By the way, how many rested last Sunday night? We spoke a word over that. I'll tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you. I left here last Sunday morning. I went home, and I did take a nap. I don't normally take a nap like that, but I passed out, and Amanda had to bring me to myself to get back up and come back to prayer. I rested. I rested well, and I praise God. I saw testimonies where people rested well last Sunday. But in him, we can rest, and we're safe. So faith works. It works in the long run as we put our faith in God, but sometimes it also requires us to do something, right? So faith, in essence, raises the bar. That's our word for the year, raise the bar. That's an acronym for believe, that's faith, act, Be obedient and respond, and then receive what God has promised, okay? Raise the bar. Believe, act, receive. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews 11, and let's talk about our example for today. We're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10, and this is about Abraham. So it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. That was his seed, right? His son and grandson, and their heirs with him as the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay? And so now here we are, Hebrews 11, starting with verse 8, and we are told of Abraham. Abraham is mentioned to us. Abraham is known as the father of nations, father of faith. Right? He's known as the father of faith. He's the father of many nations, but he's the father of faith. And so what I want to say to you through this today is this. If through Abel we see that faith comes to God and worships him, brings us in relationship with him. If through Enoch we see that faith walks with God day by day. If through Noah we see that faith works in more ways than one. Then in these three verses with Abraham, I want us to see that faith obeys, right? And faith moves. So we're going to talk about that. Faith obeys and faith moves. Now, what I'm about to say and talk about is outdated a little bit, so y'all stay with me. But I believe the same concept still applies in some way or another, some form or fashion, okay? So I'm going to talk to the ladies for just a minute. Ladies, especially those that are married. Have you ever been out on a road trip with your husband or your man, and you've been going somewhere, and he acts like he knows where he's going? I see y'all laughing already. Y'all already know where I'm going with this, right? But you get a little bit into that trip, and you got a couple U-turns and two gas station stops later, you find out he didn't have a clue what he was doing or where he was going, right? I can remember growing up being in the car sometimes with my family. My dad would be driving us, and he'd be driving us somewhere acting like he knew it all, right? But in reality, he went out not knowing where he went, kind of like Abraham. Not knowing where he went, right? And after getting good and lost, and maybe getting an earful from my mama, and after turning around a few times, he would finally stop and ask for directions. Now, listen, this was before we had GPS. This was before we had navigation systems and Google Maps and such like that. I know all that has really changed and prevented or stopped a lot of that from happening. But back in the day, before we had all those things, I remember we kept a road map in the dash. Anybody remember? Anybody had to use a road map? Right? We had a road map. I remember mom and dad looking at that map, trying to figure out where we're going. And after he already proclaimed he knew where he was going, then we had to go back and figure it out. But technology has prevented a lot from happening like that anymore, but those roadmaps before you had all that, even Google Maps today, they help you know where you're going, right? And you can ask Siri, you can type it in, and you can get the help, and it'll give you directions to where you need to go, right? This is what I love about God's Word, right? It is our spiritual GPS. It is our spiritual navigation system, right? It is our roadmap to life. We can read it, and it may say, oh, you need to make a turn right here, right? You can read it some more, and it may say, oh, you need to make a U-turn right here, right? You're going in the wrong direction. You can read it, it may say, well, oh, wait, you need to stop right there, don't go any further. Or you can read it, it may say, hey, you need to keep going, keep pursuing, go forward, move forward, right? So that's what I love about the Word of God. It is our spiritual roadmap. But I can tell you this, for sure, if you don't read it, you're going to get lost. Or you ain't going to know where you're going. Or you may stay lost, Right? So we have to read the Word of God. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? So it gives us direction. So I'll say all that to say this. It tells us that Abraham, by faith, he obeyed God, and he went to a place when he was called by God, not knowing where he went. All he had was God's Word to go on. That's all he had. He didn't have anything else but God's Word to lead him. Okay? So this is my first point today. Faith obeys. Faith obeys. I want to go back to Genesis, and we're going to read where God called Abraham to go out, okay, to move. Genesis chapter 12, I'm just going to read three verses right now. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, this was before he changed his name to Abraham, it was Abram. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Right there. You know where that saying comes from? We're blessed to be to bless. It comes from right there. I'll make you a blessing and you shall be a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Right? Okay, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you, talking to Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I think that's pretty amazing right there, right? God gives Abraham some really incredible promises just in those three verses. I mean, incredible promises. Three short verses, magnificent promises, global promises. All the families of the earth shall be blessing you. That's incredible, right? But it was, I point all that out because it was going to take some radical obedience on Abraham's part for that to take place, okay? So imagine this. Imagine God speaks to you and he says to you, Ashley Carter, I am getting ready to bless you like you ain't ever been blessed, brother. I'm getting ready to do it. The Lord's speaking to you. Just I'm not the Lord. I'm just talking, okay? This is an example. I'm going to bless you like you've never been blessed. In you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. I'm going to bless you so much, and you're going to have so much overflow of blessing that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of the blessing I give you. That's an incredible promise. Can anybody agree with me? Right? So, are you ready for it? Yeah. Amen. Let it be so. Are you ready for it? This is what I want you to do. You really ready for it? Okay. First, what I want you to do is leave. Right? Leave from where you are at and start walking. Start walking. I know you got deep roots right here. I know you got a strong foundation here. That's great. It's wonderful, and we love it. But I want you to leave. Leave your house. Leave your city. Leave your county. Actually, leave your country, right? Leave mama. Leave daddy. And all those you've become acquainted with in this area, and I want you to go. I want you to start walking. And when you get where I want you to be, I'm going to say stop. But I promise you, it'll be a great place. It'll be a promised land. But first, you got to leave. Not actually knowing where you're going. It said he left. By faith, he left. Sojourned to a land which he did not where he didn't know where he was going. This is kind of like what God told Abraham. That's crazy, right? In a sense, that would take some ridiculous faith. But do you know what Abraham did? If you read just a little bit further, this is what it says, Genesis 12, 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. Ashley starts walking. Don't leave. Don't leave that. That's why I said that wasn't thus saith the Lord. Oh, Lord. Hey, that will get us in trouble, though. Make sure you discern the voice of the Lord. Because a lot of times we'll say, well, somebody say, the Lord told me to tell you to do this. Well, if the Lord told you to tell me to do this, I guarantee he would have already spoken to me too. That would have been confirmation. It'll be confirmation. A lot of people have gotten in trouble because they just listened to Tim, Buck, and Harry tell them the Lord said this, and then they end up in disaster, and they're like, well, the Lord never said that. A man said that. Okay? We got to make sure we discern what the Lord is speaking to us, and the Lord will confirm his word. Amen? All right. So, this is kind of like what he did Abraham. Abraham departed. Abraham obeyed, and he had some ridiculous faith. And by obeying and putting his faith into action, Abraham moved. He moved. He moved from where he was to another place. Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. So Abraham moved. That's point number two. Abraham moved. Faith moves. So faith obeys and faith moves. And to talk about this, I kind of wanted to just give a personal testimony. Is that all right? So in 2013, Amanda and I were very involved in the church that we grew up in. That was East Calhoun Church of God, where Pastor Reed pastored for many, many years. So we were very plugged in. We were very involved, had been for many years. I started working in the children's church when I was 11 years old, okay? And it was just something. I served in the kids' church. I did light and music ministry in there. She was on the worship team. She came, the love of my life. I was there in 1996. She came in 1997. I was 12 years old when she came to the church, and that was the love of my life when she came. She just didn't know it yet. We had to go through youth and all kinds of things together till she finally saw the gem that I was. But she served there too. She was on the worship team. And by this time in 2013, I'd served as a children's pastor there. I'd went and started working with youth, doing a dance and drama ministry. And then I went back serving as a children's pastor there. So I was a children's pastor. Amanda was on the worship team helping and leading with that. And we grew up there. As I said, I went there when I was 11 years old, 1996. I was 11. It was our home. It was a home away from home, okay? And really, the people of that church, I built lifelong friendships with. Many of them are in this church today. I met throughout growing up in that church. And it was like a home to me. It became a family to me. People in that church became my family. But in 2013, God was calling us out of there, right? And to where we did not have a clue. We just knew he was calling us out. Leaving there was probably one of the hardest things we've ever done. One of the hardest things, but we knew God was speaking, right? And honestly, we didn't do it quickly. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we sought the Lord over tears about it, okay? But he was calling us out, and leaving was the hardest thing, one of the hardest things we ever done. But when we did it, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't have a clue. And to be honest with you, we bounced around here, yonder, and there. We did for a while. We were used in different capacities in different areas. From Calhoun to Marietta. In Calhoun, we did some youth services. She would lead, and I'd preach a word. And there were some great opportunities given there. Just want to honor Miss Tina Clements in the house today, because she was a part of that in that season. I had no idea you'd be here today. But her and her husband were pastoring our church at that time and opened up their doors, and we were able to minister there, do some youth services. But we ended up, for a little while, several months in Marietta, Open Bible Tabernacle, close to Marietta Square. And then even to Fort Myers, the door opened. I got to go speak down there, and at one point we received an offer to move down there and help pastor a church in Fort Myers, Florida. But we didn't have peace about any of that, and nothing felt like home, right? And during that season, there were times that we felt lost. We really felt like we were lost. We felt like we may have missed what God had spoken to us. We felt like we were in a wilderness, sojourners in a wilderness. And honestly, there was points where depression, I'm just being raw, real, and open with you. There were points of depression hit me. But it was in those deepest, darkest moments that I found myself at the kitchen table in our town home when everybody else was in bed, 2 a.m. I was just digging in the Word. Because I was like, I got to have something from you, God. Right? I got to have something. And I dug deep into His Word. And I probably studied more in that season because I was desperate for Him. So you can look back at some of the dark seasons of your life, but if we'll turn to the right person in those dark seasons, we'll find that we'll grow the most. And I feel like it was in that season I dug in the Word deeper than I've ever dug before, and I grew the most that I've ever grown. So I was just seeking Him, but we felt like we were just dwelling in tents, right? It says He was sojourning, they dwelled in tents, right? Again, we were here, we were younger, they were there. But in 2015, we started a Bible study on Sunday nights in the downstairs of Steve and Julie's house. And y'all lift up a prayer with me for Steve. He was diagnosed with pneumonia yesterday or Friday, and so we're just gonna pray and declare his healing. Let's just pray for him right now. Father God, we just come to you right now on behalf of Steve. And God, I just speak to his lungs that the life-giving power of Jesus would enter them, that you would strengthen them, and every ounce of sickness, illness, ailment, infection would leave his lungs, and that the breath of God Almighty, Yahweh Almighty, the Holy Spirit would breathe into him and bring healing. It is by the stripes of Jesus Christ back that we are healed, that he took for our healing, and so we just declare that healing over him and declare he is healed in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. 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 But we started a Bible study Sunday nights. They opened up their home. They had a downstairs living area, and we said, hey, we're going to do it. There were 7 of us. We started gathering. And without going into a lot of detail for time's sake, that eventually turned into what you're sitting in today, right? And Remnant Church, and I say this with my whole heart, Remnant Church and its people are the closest thing to me that's ever felt like home, spiritually speaking. I say that with all sincerity. Emmy liked it. Oh, we can take lessons from a child. Emmy felt that. She felt that in her spirit. But it is. It really is. I you don't know how often I pray for you and I thank God for the people of this church. I really do. And it's hard. Sometimes I ask people, what's your name again? It's hard to remember everybody's name. But I'm getting better and better. But I do pray. I cry out for people who come to Remnant Church, whether it's your first time or if you've been here for years or if you're new. I pray. I pray over the people of Remnant Church. But it feels like home. But it never would have happened if by faith we didn't obey and move when he said to. Okay? But can I tell you, this right here is just another big tent, right? It's another big tent. And if the Lord tarries, it won't be long until we move into a building of our own. We won't be in the shopping center. We're in this building project, right? And they're working on it, and we're going to move into that new building. It's going to be paid for in Jesus' name, right? We're believing for that, but it won't be long. We'll move into our own building, and we'll have a building on our own land where we can host a lot more things that we like to do. We won't have to rent a place, but we thank the Lord for all that. But even when that gets done, do you know that's just going to be another really big tent to dwell in for a while? You know why? Because really, we're just passing through. We're passing through here, right? Just as Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, I'm thankful for the promises that he's given us. I'm thankful for the land that he's provided. I am thankful for the building project that's taking place and a place that will be able to house more people and for us to be more effective in the kingdom and reaching more people. It says, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob dwelled in tabernacles and tents in all that God had provided. And so he's making a way. He's providing ways. He's given provision. But that's what I feel like still even now, that still this is just my temporary home, right? Hebrews 11:10 says, "For he, Abraham, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And so just like Abraham, I'm looking for a city. Can anybody identify with me this morning and say, I'm looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God Almighty. Come on. If that's not enough to get you a little bit excited, I don't know what will. But I get a little bit excited when I'm thinking about that. You know what I find interesting? The Greek word that's used there for builder in verse 10 is the Greek word technites. Technites, okay? Technites in the Greek means this, simply, architect. One who plans, one who calculates, and one who constructs, right? Constructs the plans for a building. But that technites word in the Greek comes from the root word in the Greek called technon. Technon. And you know what technon means? It actually means carpenter. Carpenter. One who is a builder or constructor. So technon is the same word used in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, when they said in contempt about Jesus, "Is not this just the carpenter, the son of Joseph?" They said that in contempt of him. I find that so funny that they said that in contempt of Jesus, but in reality, these people were actually prophesying about what Jesus himself was really doing. Because what they didn't see and what they didn't understand was that this carpenter was actually building something greater than they could ever imagine. He had been sent to do a work, and he was putting the plans. There was a great architect that was behind everything that was going on for the redemption of man, and he was planning and he was building. And Jesus said himself in John 14, 1 through 3. What did he say? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare." I go to build and construct a place for who? For you. For you, right? "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you can be also." Right? I don't know about you, but I want to be where he is. That where he is, I may be also. And I'm not just in a hurry to get going out of here, but I do long to be in the presence of my Savior. Amen? Right? He said, "I will come again and receive you to myself." Somebody say this. He's coming again. That feels good, don't it? He's coming again. And just like Abraham, I am looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amanda, would y'all come up? I'm going to continue to talk, but they're going to come up and play behind me. As I was typing and making notes and studying throughout the past couple weeks, I've had this old song that's been on my mind, right? I've played it on my computer while I was making notes. I've played it on my phone. I've played it driving down the road in my truck. And I've had this done before, but I told Amanda I want to do this again. I wanted them to sing this before we actually moved into the altar call and the altar service. But I'm a sucker still for some old hymns, right? They have ministered to me, and they still minister to me in some great ways. It's just in my long time with the Lord, I'll cut some on sometimes, and I'm just thankful for that and the anointing that's on those songs. So I'm going to have them sing a song here in just a minute. And I want you to let the words from the song marinate in you and on you. But the song's called Beulah Land. Beulah Land. Anybody remember the song Beulah Land? Right, a lot of times people count that as a sad song. To me, it's a rejoicing song, right? I'm longing for Beulah Land. It comes from Isaiah 62. It says this. This is verses 1 through 4. It says, this is the Lord talking to Israel. "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness. We're the Gentiles, right? If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And all kings, your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. For you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. The word Beulah actually means married. Married. When he comes again, right, and we are with him in his presence, you know what they call that? They call that the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because he was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, and he was slain out of his love for his bride. You're his bride. The mankind is his bride, who he loves more than we could ever imagine. This is Valentine's Day weekend. Friday was Valentine's Day, right? We had our Valentine's banquet last night here. We talked about that. We had a fantastic time. Love's in the air. At least it's supposed to be this time of year, right? Some people don't like Valentine's Day. I've seen that. But Friday morning, I had the honor and I had the privilege of going to speak at Redbud Middle School's FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And man, they had such an incredible, they had got such a good program going on there with their FCA. There was probably, I don't know the exact number, but if I'm guessing, it was between 150 to 175 students, middle schoolers in that gym. And so I had the privilege of going to talk to them. And as I talked to them, I talked about the love of God, broke down some Greek words for love and kind of broke that down. But as I closed, I told them this. I said, I don't claim to know a whole lot, but there's one thing I know, and I want everybody else to know. I know that God loves me beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I know that his plans for my life are good. I know that. I have the confidence in God for that. I know that he loves me. I know that his plans are good. And I said, I want you to know beyond a shadow of doubt that God loves you. And he has plans for your life. And that those plans are good. And I told him, look, a lot of times we may say nonchalantly, yeah, God loves me. I know God loves me. We'll go to church. We'll get in FCA. And we'll say, yeah, God loves me. We'll sing songs. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. We'll sing all that. But do we really know it? Right? Are we just singing songs? Are we just saying words? But do we really have a revelation and understanding that he loves the world? And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But he loves me personally. He loves me and he has plans for my life that are good. I told him that, and I just had a unction to give a call for salvation. And I'll tell you, I don't know that it was exactly half, but it looked like half of the kids in that room raised their hand to receive Christ that morning. It makes a difference when you know that he loves you. He sent his son to die for the sins of the world and on the cross and rise again, live again. Not just for the world, though, but for you. Because he loves you. They were practicing this morning, and I had another old song pop in my head. And I pulled up the lyrics on my phone and went to the kids' church and printed them out. Just this morning, right over there. I told Amanda right before service start, because I'd kind of procrastinated, and I said, I got to go print this before we start, because I just feel like I need to read the lyrics. I still want y'all to sing Beulah. And talk about us being married spiritually to the Lord. But I want you to get the revelation that he loves you. There's an old song called, When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind. The lyrics say, I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I made mistakes. I often slip. I'm just common flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. Because when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face. Thorns were on his head. The blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. Because when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I know it's Valentine's Day weekend, right? We celebrated that. And some people during this time, you may be concerned about having a Valentine, having somebody or someone to love or help you feel loved, anybody to love, right? Sometimes we just feel lonely. We feel isolated. I do know this, we all want to be loved and we all want to feel loved. But you got to know, whether you realize it this morning or not, that you are loved more than you could ever imagine. And so I want to tell you, don't get so caught up in looking for love in all the wrong places that you miss the greatest love that you've ever known reaching out to you every waking moment of your life. Because when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. The beauty of embracing his love for you and being patient, right? Faith endures. It's patient. Sometimes we have to wait. The beauty of that is that in turn, according to his word, as our hearts are for him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And he'll provide for us everything we need. He's just that good of a God. So this weekend and every weekend and every day of your life, if you're going to give anybody your heart, anybody, I pray that you would give your whole heart, your whole life to the one who loves you most. Give your all to Jesus. Be married, Beulah, be married to him spiritually. Be committed to him. Marriage is a commitment. Right? I start a lot of marriage ceremonies that I officiate, and I say, marriage is a commitment in life where two people can find and bring out the very best in one another. Right? I truly believe that. God meant marriage to be an example of our relationship with him. And marriage requires commitment. It requires faithfulness. It requires sacrifice. Right? Jesus does all those things to us, but a lot of times, we commit spiritual adultery. I'm not trying to be hard on you, but it's true. But I would say today, Beulah, be married to him. Be faithful, be committed. I'm going to ask him to sing this song. Beulah Land, I long to be in a land where I'm with him, where I'm married to him and in his presence. And after that, we're going to give the altar call. Just let the words soak into your heart and spirit. I just want to ask you a couple questions. If you wouldn't mind, if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, spiritually, I don't believe that I'm married to the Lord. Spiritually speaking, I'm not married to the Lord Jesus in my walk. And this morning, I want to give my heart. I want to give my life. I want to give my all to him. I want him to be the Lord of my life, the love of my life, and to lead me and guide me from this moment forward. If that's you, just throw your hand up and put it right back down. Yeah. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, listen, I've given my heart to the Lord and stuff, but I probably haven't been as faithful as one should be in a marriage. And I'm talking about spiritually, right? Y'all hear me. Spiritually speaking, I have not been as faithful as I should be. And the Lord, just in his grace and his love, has revealed that to me this morning. And the Holy Spirit's just kind of moved on my heart with that. If that's you, and you say, hey, I haven't been as faithful, but I want to be. I'm making a commitment. Throw your hand up and put it right back down. Yeah. He's a good God. I feel like there may be people here this morning. You just keep your heads bowed. It's fine. I feel like there may be people here this morning. The Lord has been speaking to you about doing something, and it's kind of an unknown area, and there's been a little fear and nervousness. And I want you to discern the voice of the Lord. You got to prayerfully consider those things. But I feel like there's people here this morning. This message was kind of like a confirmation to you to what the Lord has already been speaking. And I just want to encourage you in the Lord to say, hey, sometimes faith just has to be ridiculous in its obedience. And sometimes faith has to move. And so I want you to hear and seek the voice of the Lord on that. But I feel like the Lord is saying there's confirmation in this sermon for somebody here this morning. And you already know who you are, and the Lord's just been speaking it, and he says this is confirmation, so receive that. Just receive it. You can look at me. There's nothing I want more than for people to know him the way I know him. My heart is for him. If I could just simplify it in any term, it would be this: my heart is for him, and so I live my life for him. And I have a desire for people to know him intimately, right? To know him in the fellowship of his suffering, but in the power of his resurrection, right? Because life isn't easy, but man, he gets us through every moment. If you raise your hand for any reason, we're about to sing another song. I want you to know, or they may sing with this one still. I don't know what the plan is. We just roll with it. But if you raise your hand for any reason, I want you to come. I want you to come, meet him at the altar, spend some time with him. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. You should have, but didn't. That's all right. It's okay. He's not keeping tallies on that. He's just saying, come. I want to be in relationship with you. For any reason, if you raise your hand as they sing, I want you to come. Even if you didn't, you know, you feel in a tug from the Holy Spirit to come, come. If you have a need of any kind that you need prayer with, I want you to come. This is a moment we're going to spend some time in prayer, and then I'm going to spend some time praying with you, coming into agreement with you as we worship the Lord and long for Beulah Land, to be married in the land of marriage with him. So sing us something as they sing. Would you come? Would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.